to admit they asked Linda first if it's all right. Somebody told me today, said it feels like old home week. And it does. It does. Well, you see on the bulletin, this is the way I look sometimes. But I'm contemplating, thinking. Why work? Well, we're going to find out. We're going to be looking in just a little while at Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Just bear with me while I get this thing going. Let's pray together. Father, we give you praise for the day. We expect great things from you. And Father, I pray that every one of us just open our heart to you today and let you see what's going on in our lives. You know already. But impress upon us, if we have a decision to make, that we will make it this day. Thank you for the church and thank you for the opportunity to fill the pulpit these last three Sundays. I ask that you bless Brother Chris and his family as they prepare to come to us on the 11th. We thank you for that. And we anticipate him coming on the field and what's going to happen here at Canton Baptist Church. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, Jesus said, if you pray believing, he said you'll have it. Amen? And I'm praying that when Brother Downing comes, that we will have an old-time get-together, that we'll go out and find these folks that ought to be here and aren't, visit them and invite them to come on back to church. See what Brother Chris, with the Lord's help, has for us. All right. Why work? Happy Labor Day. You know, I think Labor Day is kind of a strange holiday. It's difficult for a preacher to know what to preach on this day. It's not one of the major holidays. We know that. Relatives don't come to see us. There's no turkey to eat, so we'll have cold turkey sandwiches the following week. While we call it Labor Day, everybody wants a day off, amen? We call it Labor Day and we try to do as little as possible, and most working people do have the day off. Now, I don't recall anyone wishing me a happy Labor Day or sending me a Labor Day card. We don't give corsages to these lovely ladies. We don't decorate the house. We don't give Labor Day gifts. Even the florist, Miss Vicki, and the card companies have not found a way to cash in on this. Amen. Amen. We don't give flowers. We don't talk much about it, do we? No. So, it's a boon, we know, to the resorts and tourist areas, and a bad weekend for most church congregations because so many people want to travel. Labor Day is different to different people, amen? To the factory worker, which I've done my time, it may be a day off. For mothers who have both dad and the kids to put up with, it's not so happy. For the policeman who must deal with extra heavy traffic and alcohol abuse, it's a tough day. The farmers and ranchers, to them, it's just another day to feed the cattle and work in the field. So I suppose that one reason we have a Labor Day is because we seem to need a holiday every few months or so. And it's the end of summer. I mean, it's coming to a close. School, most of them have already started. If they're not, they're ready to start. Of course, we didn't have to start when I was a kid until the day after, the Monday after Labor Day. Now they start on Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah. Anyway, things change, amen? So, as we think about all of these things, vacation time is over with, the summer. We've got to put our nose to the grindstone, our shoulders to the wheel. It's awful hard to work in that position, but we have to do it just the same. As a preacher, I could just ignore it, but after all, our work occupies so much of our thinking and dominates many of our conversations with others. Work dictates where we're going to live and often determines many of our friendships. And our work often influences our relationship with other people. Amen? In fact, the work we do is very important. It's an important part of our life. So I want to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. First one is going to be Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Let's stand together. You need to stand up anyway. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ whom you are serving. You may be seated. And by the way, someone has written that there are four kinds of bones when we're thinking about working. Four kinds of bones. Amen? The first one is wishbone. Now, I hope we don't have any wishbones because they spend their time wishing someone else would step up and do the work. And then we don't need many jawbones, but I'm sure we have them. They are people who do all the talking but little else. Then there's the knucklebone who knock everything that anyone else is trying to do. And then finally, there is the backbones who shoulder the load and actually do the work of the church. Now, we may smile at that, but I believe, that one of the great mistakes of our society today is in dividing the world up into categories. I mean, here's the economic world, and one set of values, rules, governs the economic world, right? Over here is the world of religion, and I use that word in a good sense, and another set of values governs this world. We come to church on Sunday, and we are influenced by the values and the commands of God. But when we go to work on Monday, we are influenced by the values and the rules of man. So we're trying to live under two very distinct authorities that are often in conflict with one another. It seems to me that Paul is saying that these worlds don't have to be in conflict. These worlds, because we work at whatever we do, I preach, but that doesn't take very long. It takes a long time to get ready. And a lot of these things take very long to deliver, huh? But these worlds, the secular world and the world of religion, do not have to be in conflict, because the work that we do should not be done for men. It should be done as if we were working for God, because we are. So, as we look at these passages that I've just read, I think that we are going to discover three important facts about the work that we do. First of all, I want you to think about the nature of work. What is the nature of work? Well, it's different things to different people, I guess, but the world tells us that work is a struggle to climb up the ladder of success, to gain as much of the world's status and power as we can. But Paul tells us to consider our work as a service to God. Regardless, folks, regardless of what we do, we are working for God. Amen? If we're not, we ought to be. So, think about it this way. If we look at work the way that I've just said, it will dispel the idea of judging others. Now, the Bible says, Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged with the same judgment that you give others. And actually, he's saying don't criticize what other people do. And we have a lot of hipsters, don't we? Paul tells us that we're working for God no matter who is writing the paycheck. Regardless of what we do, folks, we serve God in our jobs, as we perform our jobs. If we look at work that way, it will dispel the idea of judging people, I hope. But we're judged by the kind of work we do, right? Amen. Amen. People say preachers don't do much, just three times a week. Follow me sometime. When we go to work on Monday, we are influenced by the values and the rules of man, right? We are trying to live under these two distinct authorities that are so often in conflict with one another, pulling back and forth, back and forth. It seems to me that Paul is saying that these worlds do not have to be in conflict. He says, because the work that we do should not be just for men, it should be also for God. Secondly, we ask the question, what is the purpose of work? You ever wonder that? After a long weekend, you go back to work, what am I doing here? I had such a good time last weekend. What am I doing here? The purpose of work. Now, our answer to that will depend upon how we answered the first question. If you answer the first question by saying the nature of work is a struggle to climb the ladder of success, then your answer to the second question will be the purpose of work is to make all the money and accumulate all the things in the world that we want and that everybody else has, so we ought to have it too. But if you answer the first question by saying the purpose of work is to serve God, then the answer to the second question will be different as well. Paul gives us an answer to that question in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. I'll give you a moment to turn to that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Paul says, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Uncle John was in court again, charged with stealing. As he stood before Judge Huffman, he asked him, said, "Do you have anything to say, John?" Uncle John said, "Yes, sir, I do. I'm doing what the Bible says." Judge Huffman looked at him and kind of frowned. He said, "What do you mean you're doing what the Bible says? You're not doing what the Bible doesn't say steal." And Uncle John said, "Well, let me tell you. Ephesians 4:28. And Uncle John started, "I'm doing what the Bible says," he said. "Now listen, let him who stole steal, no longer working with his hands performing that which is good." You can make the Bible say whatever you want to. Amen. Do you know what Paul is saying? He is saying the purpose behind work is not to accumulate the possessions, but the purpose behind work is to meet needs. There's people out there, folks, that don't have a home. There's people that don't know where the next meal is coming from. We have jobs that we can help. Amen? And Canton Baptist does help. But I was here for 17 years, I know. But people out there have needs. And Paul says that's one reason we ought to be working. Now, that's a little hard to swallow, isn't it? You work so somebody out there who isn't working can have more than what you have. A businessman might think, I'm glad I laughed. A businessman may think Paul is out of touch with reality because he doesn't realize that we must make a profit. If we don't make a profit, we'll have to lay off our employees. If we lay off our employees, they won't have a paycheck coming in. So it's important for us to make a profit. Well, Paul is not saying don't make a profit. He is not saying that at all. The Bible never discourages a business from being profitable. In fact, the Bible teaches that it is wise to make more money than you spend. It took me a long time to learn that, but that is just common sense. Good common sense, by the way. It is important that we make a profit. The business that we have makes the profits. Paul is saying, even though the Bible discourages hoarding and greed and covetousness and worship things, Paul is saying the purpose of our working is that we might have money to support ourselves and our families, and those who are in need. Now, I believe that has a very special application to the people of God. We're told to give special attention to one another. And when there is a need among us, that need is to be a concern of the other family members. The church is a family, right? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. So when somebody is in need, the church steps up because you are the church. This is the building. Step up to give help. Amen. So the purpose of going to work is so that we might have the ability to do just that. The last question, the third question, is this. What is the result of our work? I used to, well, both of us, used to work for McDonnell Douglas Aircraft in St. Charles, or St. Louis. And when we hired on, or when I hired on, I went there before Linda did, they had made the statement, the honchos at McDonnell Douglas, send us all those Missouri hillbillies you can find. Because they work. They work harder than anybody. And so I worked there. And then we went to Georgia and worked for Lockheed. Give a little extra every day for a day's pay. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, what is the result of our work? Work is important. And from the moment God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, he gave them some work to do. They were to take care of the garden. But work in and of itself cannot fully satisfy. But we think, of course, we think it can. Because we identify with what we do. Who are we? Who are you? We ask. And the answer is why? I'm a lawyer, or I'm a doctor, or I'm a preacher, or I'm a clerk, or whatever. We are what our work is. If we do something worthwhile, we feel that we are doing something. I read of a preacher who had been preaching ever since he had graduated from college. He never wanted to do anything else. He wanted to preach the gospel. That was it. But problems arose, and he left the ministry. He has another job now. Pays more money, but he went through a tremendous identity crisis because he had always been a preacher. When someone asked him who he would answer, "I'm a preacher." But now he sees himself as someone else because his job has changed. That's one of the reasons, folks, why many people dread the idea of retirement, saying, "I will never retire." I tried it in 2011. I didn't like it. I didn't have much to do. It don't take very long to mow the lawn. So, here I am. Anyway. But that's one reason people dread retiring. Because it seems that when you retire, the world thinks you're no longer valuable. You see, the world teaches, folks, that you are what you do. You are what you accumulate. It tells wives you are what your husband does. It even tries to tell Christians, should I confess, I fell off this platform Wednesday night. I missed a step. Sorry about that. But the bad thing is she tried to catch me. We just bruised and banged up all over. Oh. The Bible says, the people try to tell Christians what they are and what they do. But the Bible teaches us that that's not true. There are more important things than our daily work. More important than anything else is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary's cross to forgive us our sins. Sins have been paid for. People need to accept that. You can't save yourself. Good work won't save you. We trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross. Well, There are more important things, folks, than our daily work. More important than anything else is the relationship we have with Christ and with God our Father. If we gain the whole world and lose our own soul, what have we profited? If we lay up treasures that rust and rot away and have no treasure in heaven, what have we gained? All these things that are accumulated that take people's time and all of their effort and they leave God out, you better enjoy the thing that you have, because that's all you're going to get is what you have here on this earth. You know, I like steeples, like on this church building. One of the reasons I like them is because you can see them from a long ways off. You can see this church from the bridge or wherever the bridge is. When I point, I'm just saying it's not here, right? But you can see this church building from the bridge. There's a motto of the church back there. You want to read it on that sign hanging back there by Richard and Bonnie? I like church steeples. You can see them in the midst of trees, above the housetops. You can see them right in the midst of a busy city. They stand out like beacons. They are pointing toward heaven, and they're saying, God is at home. God is taking care of things, and everything's going to be all right. That was Brother O.D. Boyd's favorite saying. Don't worry about it. Things are going to be all right. I like steeples because in the midst of everything else, it marks a place where Jesus is proclaimed. It reminds people as they make their way to work that there is something even more important and eternal. God is at home, and He offers a meaning and a purpose of life which we will never be able to find anywhere else. I'm going to ask you this morning, as I get ready to close this down, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. It's not the church's invitation. It's not my invitation. It's the invitation of God. And I want to ask you, will you give your heart to Jesus if you haven't? Will you give your heart to Jesus this morning? If you have a public decision to make, you are invited to come forward as we stand together. It's the big swoop. Brother John is going to come and have a hymn of invitation. If you need to do something for God today, then this is your opportunity. Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation. I pray, Father, for all of us that we would be honest with you. I know, Father, I've come to you so many times today, I just say it's me again, Lord. And I don't think I'm much different than anyone. But Father, we need to keep our contact with you. We need to understand that what we do in this life, not only do we do it to make a living, but also we do it to please you. So speak to us, guide us, in Christ's name, amen.